I do promise one day to learn PowerPoint. I know that's very easy for the listener and the hearer to have something very visual to look at. I just haven't gotten into that yet. I'm still kind of old school, but bear with me. I have several opportunities sometimes. Unfortunately, those opportunities are few and far between sometimes in my life. Mostly it's at work when I have a chance to talk about spiritual things with people. And in those talks, when we talk about spiritual things, a lot of questions come up. There are a lot of people in the world today that are mostly, the way I see it, full of questions. They don't really know maybe what they believe. They're interested because of maybe the way they've seen you act, or maybe the way that they've seen you handle some things, what you believe and why you believe that way. And hopefully they see the outlook and then the attitude that you have, and they want a piece of it. I've had several discussions with people that's wanted to know where my attitude comes from, and where does my outlook on life come from. There's a lot of people dealing with a lot of things in life. There's a lot of people that divulge to me very complicated things in their life, and how in the world can I get all this together, and worried about doing the right thing, whatever that is. In this world of seemingly anything can be right on any given day, anything can be wrong on any given day. Without a standard, they're lost. And this study is pretty much what, with a couple people I've been talking to, what is what I'm going to present. I've talked with them a lot. We've unfortunately done too much talking without the scripture being involved. It's a long walk from where I work to my locker where my Bible is. There's not the ability to carry the little Bible that I have with me at all times. So sometimes we get a chance to actually read the scripture, and those are the better conversations. Those are the conversations that don't scare me, because the answers are there. We have the answers. They're looking for them, and they're right there in black and white. But I figure that Romans chapter 8 was a pretty good place to start. And in studying this chapter, it just tells it like it is, exactly the way a Christian should look at life and the attitude that they should have because of the wonderful gift that we've been given by God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." And this is a very important first verse. And talking with people about why we see things the way we see it, and what our outlook is on life. We don't live according to the flesh when billions of people do. We live according to the Spirit, and hopefully with the right attitude of people, that will have more questions come about and the study can keep going. We're to walk according to the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, we see the same theme here. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. I'm in close proximity with these people that I work with. It is a very hard thing to do if you're working closely with people, to just work. And for nothing personal in your life, a story that you can share, something that's going on with you, for that not to come out. You find, as human beings do, no matter what you're doing, you can find some sort of little bit of free time to share your life with somebody else. Some people may decide to share other people's life with you in the form of gossip, maybe backbiting, busybodying. There's more than that than I care to talk about tonight. But people do want to share things. People do want to talk. So let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And those are a lot of the stories that I hear. So we're to walk in the Spirit. In verse 2 of Romans chapter 8, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. We have freedom from sin. This is something in this country, in this line of talking and in this line of questioning, we may be able to get across. We live in a free country where freedom is talked about a lot, where freedom is not taken for granted or shouldn't be. It is a concept in this country that is central to this country's identity. Unfortunately, in this world we live in, that's not always the case. We've heard many stories from Travis and others that's been abroad in countries that are not so free, in countries where the things we do very easily are very hard to do in these countries. We live in a wonderful country where freedom exists. So maybe that won't be so hard to get across, just the concept of freedom. What will be hard is that to make them realize that they are slaves to sin. And in the gospel, and in Christ Jesus, is the only true freedom. In Romans chapter 6, verse 18. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. And we'll talk more about being slaves of righteousness a little later. Because you are either one or the other. You're either a slave to sin, or you're a slave to righteousness. Continuing on, for what is the law? For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 5, for those who live according to flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What do you set your mind on? When a lot of the gossip is going on in your life, wherever it is, it could be family members. I find a lot of times it can be family members. When we put a disguise on it that we are family and we can talk about other family and friends because we're trying to help them. It's the first thing that somebody will say to you. If you come across as maybe convicting them of gossip in a way. Well, I'm trying to help them. I'm trying to get the truth out there so we can know what's going on with them. You know, and that just leads to, how are they helped? By you telling everybody their business. What are they setting their mind on? And whatever comes out of their mouth. In John chapter 3, verse 6. John chapter 3, verse 6. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. What are you born of? As a Christian, we need never to forget what we are born of. Every day of our life, where we come from. I've heard many sermons about somebody that's telling you, you know, where they come from, especially in denominations and other churches and institutions out there, that they come from Joseph Smith, or they come from Muhammad, that the founding person is that in and of itself. It's a founding person, not the person in of Jesus Christ, who is also a human being and God. The Son of God. So what can you trace what you're born of? How can you trace back your belief in who you are? Back in Romans chapter 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We are not to be carnally minded, not to be worldly minded. We're to be spiritually minded. And what do we get when we do this? Because this world is very interested in what we get out of things. What am I going to get? Get life and peace by living and being spiritually minded. I think there are a lot of people that would love to get life and peace in their life. You cannot please God in the flesh. There are millions of people out there that say that they're pleasing God today. There are Seventh-day Adventists that say that they were pleasing God yesterday. There are people that don't choose to meet any other day of the week that say they are pleasing God. There are people that don't meet at all that say that they are pleasing God. What sets you apart? These questions will come up when people ask you. What is the difference between you and other people that say they are pleasing God? If you're carnally minded and setting your mind on carnal and worldly things and not spiritual things, you're just not pleasing to God. Starting in verse 9, Romans chapter 8. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Who do you belong to? We're also in a very much a me generation. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And I think the brevity of life is very much recognized in a way. But it's taken the wrong way. Life is short. So don't do what God wants you to do. Do everything that you possibly can do. Sin. Do